is your one-stop shop when preparing for a day's punting.
From Racing HQ with tips and scratchings to crucial interviews from trainers and jockeys, our commitment is simple. Supply you with winners.
National Racing Service gives you the complete picture, full of colour and excitement.
Right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
At Toyota Material Handling, when they say they mean business, they mean business. Forklift business, that is. There's never been a better time to purchase a new forklift from Toyota's massive range. And for a limited time, purchase any selected new Toyota 2.5 or 3-ton counterbalance forklift and get a free $250 Caltex StarCash card. Score a great Toyota forklift deal and score free fuel. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Terms and conditions apply.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Feel bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning. Yes, it's 2 past 10. Kevin Wolfe here for Tab Talk this morning, joined by Jared Middleton from tab.com.au. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Mate, I'm well. Exciting to talk this morning about, I guess, a mixture of horse racing and rugby league. Of course, the big weekend coming up. The start of the serious stuff in Brisbane this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that BTC Cup field looks sensational, doesn't it? Can't wait to see the Rockhampton Rocket, our boy Malachi, up against Shrikandy. They're both $4.80 joint favourites with tab.com.au. Taking a little bit more on Shrikandy in the all-in market at this stage. Trust in August to beaten first up just $5.50, but it is a star as well. So look at great weekend's racing in Brisbane. Looking forward to speaking to Tony Gollan, who's got some great horses running as well.
Yeah, including, of course, the legendary Temple of Boom. Extraordinary 8-year-old, isn't he? He's won, $1.8 million prize money, only cost 40 grand. He's certainly paid his price, or paid his fee.
Yeah, certainly has. I mean, it won a Galaxy, didn't it? 50-odd starts. It's certainly been a great horse for Tony. $18 chance in the all-in market there, too, for the BTC Cup. Sixth that was first up in that Victory Stakes on the Gold Coast, a race that won last year, but still had a pretty good prep in the spring. A bit disappointing in the Darley Classic there at the end, but certainly was there and thereabouts in the lead-ups to that.
Okay, so we'll get Tony up in just a moment. And after we speak to Tony, we'll have a chat with Matt Russell about, I guess, the world of rugby league. Plenty on there too, isn't there, with the rep season and with the NRL back on this weekend?
Yeah, NRL back on, and the build-up to Origin 1 really starts in earnest now. Now, May 27, that first game at ANZ Stadium, and there just seems to be minefields around for Laurie Daly wherever you look. Injuries now possible. Well, Greg Bird could be missing for at least the first two games. That lifting tackle could have him in a whole lot of hot water. He's going to contest that, it looks like. So, yeah, we'll talk to Matt Russell about the fallout from the Australia-New Zealand test, the City-Country match as well.
Okay, before we get to Matt, we'll have a chat with Tony Gollan, who's on the line with us this morning. Tony, good morning.
How are you, guys?
Yeah, very well. Tony, straight off the bat, how many horses do you have in work? How many do you look after?
I have 63 here at Eagle Farm.
63 at Eagle Farm. I'm just looking. You've got Bow Desert on Friday. You've got Toowoomba on Saturday. You've got obviously plenty happening at Doomben. Can you just give us an idea, the art of placing horses around a state as large as Queensland? What sort of team do you have working for you in terms of the process of putting all of those in the right place at the right time?
Well, that job pretty well falls on me, trying to find the right races for them all. But we mainly stick to the southeast here. We don't sort of venture too far out of that area unless we're going to the carnivals around the place. So we stick predominantly up here to the southeast corner week in, week out. And this time of the year is quite difficult with our winter carnival on, trying to place the horses that aren't good enough for the Saturday races. But we just look through it all, and hopefully we get it right more often than we get it wrong.
And what sort of time to... I guess out of a week's work for you typically, would you take in looking ahead for placing horses at venues and races?
Yeah, no, there's a good couple of hours at least each week. And then you go and reevaluate it again and make sure you're on the right path. And with the weather pattern we've had lately this year up here, it makes it a little bit more tricky. You're trying to look for dry tracks for dry trackers and wet tracks for wet trackers. So it's a difficult period. It certainly takes up a lot of your time. but it's rewarding when you get it right.
No doubt, one you have less difficulty in placing is Temple of Boom, Tony. He's been such a great horse for you. Coming off its sixth there, as I mentioned, first up in the Victory Stakes in on the Gold Coast, a race it won last year. How would you assess its performance in that, and how's its progress been since?
Yeah, I thought his run was good. We've had him in work quite a while. He hasn't raced since in the spring in November, so it was a long time between runs. He just wasn't quite ready to travel away in the autumn. And this time last year, we already had a few runs in the autumn in Sydney under his belt coming back to Brisbane. So he certainly had a far more fitness. We lost a jump out going in, and I was quite concerned where he was at first up. I thought his run was terrific. He only blew out of condition the last 100 metres, and he's taken huge improvement from that run.
Right, so a lot fitter, much fitter for the run, and $18 chance, sneaky each way.
Oh, look, yeah, barrier draws are crucial, as you know, and $18 is probably tricky before you see the draws. But if he's to draw soft, I think $18 is very lucrative.
What are your impressions of our boy Malachi? Probably seen it a bit even before it came down to Sydney.
Yeah, look, he's a beautiful horse. He's a lovely type. He moves well. I seen him here in Brisbane last year, and he was really well. I think he's been really well placed down in Sydney, and he's certainly up now in Group 1-1. Wait for age races. It'll be really much stronger than what he's been against, but he's an impressive horse. He loves us being out of the ground, and looking forward to seeing him race on Saturday. And
Tony, back to Temple of Boom. Tell us where he sits in your heart. The 8-year-old, he's a marvel, 50-odd races, nearly $2 million in prize money. I mean, obviously, the financial side, aside from that, just where does he sit for you?
Oh, look, he's probably my favourite horse. I didn't like to split him too much, him and Spirit, but like Temple, I guess, he came along first the year before, and if it wasn't for him, I might not have brought his brother, who knows. But I think I had about, I don't know, 12 horses in work in a barn at Toowoomba when he popped his head in there as a yearling, and we're 63 and working here in Brisbane now, and he's still here with me. So he's done a lot more for me than what the financial benefits of him just winning prize money has accumulated. He's been a fantastic horse to train. He comes up prep after prep, and we've been all over the country with him. So he definitely got a special place in my heart, and when he goes, it'll be a sad day, and I guess for us, an end of an era.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you, actually, exactly where that horse fit in your heart there, Tony. It's been so good to you. Now, Hijack Hussey resumes as well in the Dipman Plate there, the 3-year-old race, 1,200 metres. It was really well fancied heading into that Magic Millions Guineas when it ran 10th, probably a shade disappointing in that race.
Yeah, no, she was. I think we just pushed the barrel, just one run too many there. She had a couple of really hard runs, and I was quite concerned with that. She's such a good eating filly. She's very, very tough. She didn't show us any signs, but obviously raced below her best that day. And she'd been raced in Brisbane in the spring, went to Melbourne, come back, and had a couple of really hard runs before the Magic Millions. She had a spell, and she's come back in great order.
Also, Travis Tongue, you've got nominated for the Dipman Plate as well as the 1,200-metre listed race there for the fillies and mares. Any idea where you're going to run her?
Not really yet. I'll just have a bit more of a look at it this afternoon when I see the weights come out and whatnot. But look, I suppose it's 6-1, half a dozen the other. Either race, they're all strong. There's no easy ones during the carnival. So I'm not sure which way we'll go, but she's taken great improvement out of that first up run. And yet again, as I spoke to Temple before, barriers will be all that important tomorrow.
Of course, she ran second behind Amicus in 1,000 guineas. What do you think her best distance is?
Probably getting out to the mile, I think. I think 1,200 on Saturday will still be a touch short for her. Looking more forward to the 1,350 a fortnight later, probably with both them fillies we spoke of, to be fair. And then I certainly wouldn't shy at getting out to the Queensland guineas of a mile on Cradbroke Day, if that's the way they go.
And a third in the Gold Coast guineas, as you mentioned, last start. Just a length away from Nostradamus, so certainly happy with that run.
Yeah, oh, definitely. She was off the track the whole way. She never got over from an awkward draw. And I really think she struggled getting around that corner there at the Gold Coast too. She did lose a lot of ground, and she was shoved wide. It was a difficult track that day. Horses wanted to get out to a certain position on the track, which was quite wide off the fence to get to the best ground. And when you were three deep already, you were pushed pretty deep on the corner. So looking forward to seeing her back at Doom in a track she does race well on. And she's always better for that first up run.
Secret Saga, filly nominated for the 2-year-old Champagne Classic, the Group 2. Last start winner, won 2 out of 3. Pretty talented filly, this.
Yeah, she's quite an exciting 2-year-old, this girl. She's good filly. We were nearly going to take her to Sydney for the Percy Sykes, and she had a little bit of a hiccup off a little freshen up there. Just things didn't do. A few things didn't go her way when she was beaten, so we elected to leave her here. The format of her last win's been great, and month between runs, she's in great condition now for the Champagne.
And in the Group 3 BRC Sprint, you've got Alma's Fury, another horse, I guess, up there, like Temple of Boom, one that's been very good to you, seven-year-old now, coming off a ninth in the Victory Stakes.
He's been good. We've only had him for a year. Obviously, was at Paul Murray's before us, did a great job of him. He's been really good for us. He's run super in the last year. He doesn't show his age. He's a sprightly old bloke, and he's always better when he gets out to this 1350, 1400. 1200 is too short for him. He struggled to stay in touch and see a different horse on Saturday. He loves cut out of the ground. And look, he's certainly had a run well. I dare say he'll improve again. There's no doubt about that. But he'll be a much improved horse than what he was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, Paul. Forgot about Alma's Fury, of course, with Paul before you there. Now, Gundy Spirit to Neo, turn the tables on him at the Gold Coast on Anzac Day there.
Oh, look, I think it was just barriers. And the way the race was run, we were back second last and had to sort of come right round them. That wasn't ideal. He'll enjoy getting back to Doomin here this week, this horse. And I just hope this track dries out. You know, the drier, the better for him, and he needs to draw a barrier. But he's going super. He's a chance in all these races like this throughout the carnival, provided he can get dry tracks and draw good gates. He'll be a chance, whatever I put him in, at this level.
Now, how has the weather been since the deluge on Thursday, Friday there? Because we saw images of what the submarine being put in Suncorp Stadium and all sorts of interesting stuff arising on social media. But how has it been, and how's the track looking at this point?
Well, look, the weather's been perfect since then. It's just beautiful weather up here today with, you know, 26, 28 degrees, and it's lovely. We'd probably like a little bit more breeze around. The only thing, it's quite still. We'd love a breeze to help dry that track out. We did work on the outside of it this morning. It does tend to cut up sort of anyway out there, and it still was quite soft this morning. But we've got a beautiful weather forecast rest this week, and hopefully we can get a sneaky sea breeze sneak up and help the track out a little bit. But I think we're going to be looking, you know, at least a 5 or 6 on Saturday or better.
We're due for some luck, aren't we, Kevin, in the racing fraternity as far as weather's concerned. It's just been an absolute bloodbath as far as what's gone on feature race meetings is concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
You're all right, guys.
No, I agree with you, Jared. Yeah, it's and thankfully the sun's shining in Sydney and hopefully continues to shine right around the state here as we approach, I guess, the Scone standalone meeting as well coming up. Hopefully they get a bit of luck than Hawkesbury did. While we have Tony here, look, ahead of Doomben on Saturday, Bow Desert on Friday, you got a runner, one to go. Toowoomba, you've also got three. Tell us about Bow Desert on Friday. Are you still going there?
Yeah, we'll still go there. This horse is, he's only newest to a stable this time, and he's a bit hard to place this time of the year. So we've sort of looked at a race out there, what sort of fits his grade and up on speed sort of horse. So hopefully he can improve off his lackluster run last Wednesday.
Okay, and then a C3 at Toowoomba, you've nominated a Murta Cape, a Little Wicket on a Zephyr. Still planning to go there?
Yeah, a couple of two-year-olds there, you know, trying to look for these two-year-old maids to kick their careers off and find races they can run well in. They're two nice horses. Probably not winning carnival bound at this stage, but a good place for them to kick off and a place where they could run well. We get a track that's suitable.
All right, we won't let you go, Tony. Before we let you go, just give us the map for Temple of Boom. He's nominated for all the big ones in Brizzy.
Yeah, and he'll just, while his form's still good, we'll just picking through them. His ratings are such that you can't sort of drop him back a grade. He's sort of up to Group 1 level, and he was great here at the carnival last year, so he'll just go the traditional approach through to the Stradbroke, and then we'll have a look there. And this is probably his last season racing, but you wouldn't know looking at him. He's sprightly around the stable, and we can't wait towards the Stradbroke.
No, and racing loves horses like him. It's fantastic for the game. Tony, thanks for your time this morning. Good luck with all your horses moving forward.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, mate. Tony Golan, there he is. And really nice guy, and how exciting. Fantastic. 14 past 10, this is Sky Sports Radio. In just a moment, part two of Tab Talk, we'll chat with Matt Russell about rugby league from Fox Sports.
Sky Sports Radio is a part of the racing industry every day. And on Mondays, we like to hear from you on Punter's Postmortem.
Discuss racing with the best in the business. Ron Duffy, Dean Lester and Alan Thomas throughout the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Hey,
hey, hey. Call 1353 every Monday morning at 9 to be part of Punter's Postmortem. On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Dynamics Indications and Gay Waterhouse offer a filly bred speed on speed. Buy I Am Invincible. Champion Sire injecting early speed into his progeny like Jewel Group 1 winner Brazen Bow. From Special Mention, a two-year-old winner by Exceed and Excel. Champion two-year-old Sire and directly related to Champion Sprinter Special. Nobody trains two-year-olds better than Gay. Join our dynamic Gay Waterhouse team in this precocious filly. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-61-9999. AFSL 3368-08.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Today's form guide is brought to you by Tab's Cash Out, which now allows you to eject early on your multi. Find out more at tab.com.au or on your mobile.
Time to get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
And it is 16 past 10 here. Kevin Wolfe with Jared Middleton talking Tab Talk this morning, and waiting to get Matt Russell online to dissect what's happening in the rugby league. And after the weekend's rep football, Jared, a lot of talk about the New South Wales team with Greg Bird and the suspension, Josh Reynolds. There's been some pretty ordinary things on social media said about his performance after the City Country match. The halves for New South Wales. Queensland must be sitting back going, here we go again.
And they tend to do that heading into Origin, because for the last, what, decade just about, their team's almost been picked for them pretty much heading into Origin 1, whereas it seems to be the annual debate every year as to who's going to fill the key positions for New South Wales, particularly around the halves, but also the wingers. It looks a little bit short out there. Perhaps Achille Uwate. Josh Mansu was injured as well. So, I mean, Alex Johnston, I mean, he played test footy. Surely he does get an Origin jersey, but you never know. So, yeah, look, so much debate surrounds the makeup of the New South Wales side. No doubt Laurie Daly will be tearing his hair out, and one punter hasn't hesitated, having $10,000 at $1.60 on Queensland to win the Origin series yesterday. So
yeah,
the money is starting to roll in for Queensland, not just in the series winner market, but also ahead of game one. And what about the multi, Kevin, that came out of the weekend? I think this is a multi of the year so far with tab.com.au. One punter's turned $10 into $46,500, just a shade over, in fact, just from a three-leg multi out of the rugby league tests over the weekend. So they had Fiji to win 1-12 in the margin against Papua New Guinea. They won 22-10. Remember, they led by 18 at halftime and survived. Yep. That punter survived the late field goal attempt as well. Then they had that into Samoa 1-12 against Tonga. Samoa winning 18-16 there, and Sam Cassiano had a late try saver on George Tafua, so just held on there, Samoa. And then the last leg of this three-leg is the most astonishing one. They've had a first try scorer and margin double, which he can do as the one bet. Now, he had Sam Thaiday into New Zealand to win 13+. That alone was paying $441. Now, Sam Thaiday did score the first try. New Zealand won 26-12. So $10 becomes $46,500. That punter put that bet on at the DYRSL Club.
Dear, oh dear, and he's probably pretty thankfully decided not to cash out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, of course, the other option you had. That punter had the option, of course, to cash out at points during that multi for a reduced value, of course, but they let it ride and it paid dividends. $10 into nearly $50,000. Sensational.
Nice work if you didn't get it. At 18 past 10, we now welcome Matt Russell to the program. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, gents. Geez, I've been having a good time at the DYRS. Need to borrow some cash, gents. Come and see me.
Yeah, I was going to say M. Russell was on the betting ticket there, but
I wish.
Matt, how did you see the weekend? We're just sitting here talking about what Laurie Daly's possibly taking out of it, what Tim Sheens is taking out of it, what I don't know, Queensland's taking out of it. How did you see it all unfold?
Look, as a general view, let me start by saying I realise that representative round, the international weekend, has had some critics in past years, and I've been one of them. Just when the actual premiership seems to be gaining some momentum and we've got some good rugby league being played, we reach for the break, stop it and play a rep round. But I'm going to say that I loved the weekend. I want to see more of it now. I think there's a real place for these Pacific tests that just continue to grow in popularity. I enjoyed the Anzac test as well. So from the Gold Coast down to City Country at Wagga Wagga up to Suncorp to finish, I thought there was great atmosphere, great reason to watch, and I do understand why we invest time and energy after eight rounds into a representative round.
I have to say, Matt, I totally agree with you. I was a critic as well before the weekend, but I was sitting at home in the Golden Central West there in Orange, one of your old haunts there on Saturday night, watching the Fiji PNG Samoa Tonga fixtures. And the crowd there at the Gold Coast was fantastic, wasn't it? The atmosphere was unreal. And watching them do their traditional war dances before each game was unreal to watch.
Glad to see that your Kelly's Hotel lifetime ban's been lifted, Jared. And you're spot on. I was lucky enough to call the junior test, the junior ruse against the junior Kiwis. That ended up being the start of rep round after Friday's postponement. And I thought they laid a great platform. There was a fantastic game of footy, two willing sides, close the whole way through. It spewed into these Pacific tests as the crowd built. Plenty of fanfare before kickoff with the haakas and the traditional ceremonies. And then the footy lived up to it. Close football, spectacular tries, big hits, and maybe not the structure and predictability we see week in, week out at club level, where coaches have a whole season to mould their team into a style they want. I just like the randomness of it, if you like, and the way these players obviously play with plenty of passion. You only got to look at Sam Cassiano's tackle late in that Samoa Tonga test to know that these players have so much pride representing their family's heritage. We know that the Polynesians, what's really important to them is family, religion, and their history, and it gives them a great opportunity to tap into all those emotions, these Pacific tests.
Surely that was a shoulder charge, Cassiano, surely.
It was a shoulder charge, but I've actually spoken to referees' bosses in the past about shoulder charges when it comes to stopping a try. And the basic assumption I took out of it is that you can shoulder charge to stop a try. I know that doesn't seem right, but, you know, the same way you can strip a ball to stop a try and not be penalised, you can sort of put your body on the line, and if it looks like a shoulder charge in the act of stopping a try, then that will be allowed to go.
I was staggered reading about the world rankings of rugby league over the weekend, and Samoa ranked 16th behind Norway and Germany. I can't recall ever seeing Germany or Norway play. How does that work?
Kev, what you should do is get those rankings, tear them up and toss them in the bin, because they mean absolutely nothing. Like, let's face it, New Zealand should be the number one ranked country in the world after beating the Kangaroos for three tests running. Samoa and Tonga are clearly top 10 teams. As for Norway and Germany, forget they exist.
I'd love to see Norway versus Australia. That would be interesting. Now, Matt, $10,000 bet yesterday on the Maroons at $1.60 to win Origin 1. For Game 1, it's $1.90 each, May 27 at ANZ Stadium. Queensland at $2 into $1.90. New South Wales, $1.80 out to $1.90. The money is running for Queensland, though. Laurie Daly must be having some sleepless nights. City Country, 34-22 Country beat City. Who are the winners and losers out of that game as we head towards Origin?
Well, I reckon a couple of winners were on the forwards, or the fringe forwards, if you like. I thought Josh Jackson was really strong. His numbers were good. Tyson Frizzell put his hand up as well. James Maloney, did he take a step towards Origin? I don't really know, but as an overall assessment, what is Laurie Daly thinking now? Because the star of last season was Jared Hayne. He's gone. The 6 and 7 are still up in the air, so you've got the bulk of the spine still under a big question mark and a query. Would you say that New South Wales are in disarray? Probably not. But I expect Matty Moylan to be a rookie fullback. Then you look at the 6 and 7, and Brett Camorley keeps telling me that he's going to name two halfbacks as his halves, Hodkinson and Pearce. That will be interesting to see how that works. Robbie Farrell will be the New South Wales hooker, and that's probably the only certainty and lock from the spine from last year. So I can understand why there is so much money running towards Queensland. Did Maloney play himself back into an Origin jumper? Oh, gee, I don't know. What do you reckon, Jerry?
I mean... I haven't been convinced by James Maloney so far during the season. I thought he played quite well against the Roosters, actually, against the Storm when the Roosters just went down in that game. Before that, there was a question mark over his defence. It's a tough one. I just love Josh Reynolds as a player. I think he's an Origin-type player. And I know that his form as well has been an issue. I know he's been out with injury, and now he's got a possible suspension riding over his head. But when it comes to the Cauldron of Origin, I just love Josh Reynolds in that moment, and he proved that last year.
Yeah, well, I think you can put a red pen through Josh Reynolds, though. His form hasn't been up to scratch. The way that he was charged for a trip, I think, will count against him. He might even be suspended for it. So I'm willing to count Josh out, sadly, for his sake, and say that it's a race in three between Pearce, Hodkinson and Maloney. Bird would have been in there, but he looks like he's going to face a long stint on the sideline. So I'd say one of those or two of those three will be your halves. And the other questions that might have been answered, Fifita against Clemmer. Well, in the City Country game, Fifita ran for 162 metres, Clemmer 103. So Andrews has the numbers over David Clemmer, and he's been there before, so maybe now Laurie might lean towards Andrew Fifita if it was a toss of the coin between those two. And Blake Austin with three tries. I'm not suggesting he's going to play Origin 1, but if there are some injuries or an emergency situation, he might be a smoky for the Origin series in some part through 2015.
Honestly, if they decided not to play Mitchell Pearce and Hodkinson and resting them, why would you be resting them unless you were planning to and play them in Origin?
It's a very good point, isn't it? I think that that game, technically, City Country, is an Origin trial. If you rest two star halves and then don't name them for State of Origin, don't they have every right to turn around and say, hang on, you denied me a chance to play and impress and trial. How can you now overlook me? I thought as soon as Pearce and Hodkinson were rested for City Country, that it was a pointer towards those two being named 6 and 7, like Brett Camorley had predicted for weeks beforehand. So I'll be surprised at this stage if it's not those two named as your New South Wales halves.
No, I'm surely. I mean, you'd be absolutely spewing, wouldn't you, as a player? I mean, you get rested from a representative fixture and then you don't make the team for New South Wales. You would be absolutely spewing. Who's going to play on the wing, Matty?
Well, that's a very good question. Daniel Tupou was there last year, wasn't he? And he's an aerial threat, but I don't know whether he's shown us his best form this year. Was he so powerful last year that he makes himself undroppable? I don't think so. So who would you consider to be some of the selection possibilities? Josh Dugan. If Moylan plays fullback, you've got Jennings and Morris as your centres. So Dugan's going to be one wing. And then it comes down to who you name on the other one.
Alex Johnston, where does he fit in?
Well, you think Alex Johnston has to be the other winger. If he plays for Australia, technically you've got to be a lock for New South Wales, don't you?
Well, you'd think so.
Well, there's your wing combination, and there's your back line, if you like. If you want to go through it now, Pearce and Hodkinson as your halves, Jennings, Josh Morris as your centres, Dugan one wing, then you go to fullback Moylan, and then you go to Alex Johnston on the other wing.
Hang on there, boys. We've got to replay this race. Ascot Park, the second.
Kingston to Opavalary. Uno Margarita's well back. War Cloakers back last as they swing and go. And Hip Hopper Sophia just ahead of it. He's made it to the front, Lark Kinks. He's away by two or three lengths. What a great run. Lark Kinks is going to get home. We'll beat photos here. We've got Opavalary, Corborn Roman and Hip Hop Sophia almost in line. Behind those two, Opawa Maya. A bit of a gap back to the last two, Uno Margarita and War Cloak.
So the winner is Fuller Kinks there. 190-120 photo for the miners as we wrap up our chat with Matt Russell here from Fox Sports. Matt, let's look ahead to the weekend. There's been the layoff. There was momentum being, I guess, some teams were on a roll. Some teams probably appreciated the rest. Who do you think enjoyed the rest the most as we look forward to the resumption of the NRL?
Well, you have to say teams like South Sydney and the Roosters, who before the rep round had won one game between them over the last month. They are the premiers for the last 2 years, and they were in horrible form. They would like to think that a week off has given them the chance to get some bruised bodies back to basically reset and go again. And don't they need to reset and go again? Because both of those clubs were in a big hole before rep round rolled around. So I'll be keen to see how the Roosters go on Friday night against the Tigers. The Roosters are at home, and the Tigers, with Marty Tapau in sensational rep form, they're going to take some beating, Jason Taylor's men. And as for South Sydney, they've got to wait until Monday night on Fox Sports against the Dragons. And George Illawarra on this hot streak, so they're going to take some beating as well. So big assignments for the Roosters and Rabbitohs this weekend. And I expect that the betting will be much closer than it would have been if we forecast this 6 or 7 weeks ago, Jared.
Yeah, absolutely. South's $1.60. St. George Illawarra, $2.40. That's Monday night football on Fox Sports. The Sydney Roosters, $1.40. The Tigers, $3. I think from what we saw before the rep rate, the Tigers were the side I got most excited about as a neutral, of course, being a Bears fan, Matty. The Tigers were the side I really enjoyed watching, and the side I watched and went, gee, this side's got the most upside of any team in the competition.
What price are the Bears paying for this year's premiership, Jared?
That's harsh, Matty. That's
haven't existed for 100 years. Oh, you're following them.
Now, hang on, you boys. Handbags are 10 paces, just like a game of footy at this stage. Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks once again for your time, and we look forward to hearing you speaking again about the great game of rugby league right during the year. Thanks, mate.
I look forward to it. Can you tell Jared that North are no longer in the comp?
Hey, did he enjoy the Northern Bear scenario? How did that go for you?
The Northern Eagles, yeah.
Northern Eagles. No, forget that.
Anything where they were joined at the hip with Manly didn't work with me, but thanks very much, Matt. Thanks for reminding me.
Thanks, mate. All right, there it is. Matt Russell from Fox. Thanks, Jerry. That was fun. We'll do it again
soon.
Soon.
Yeah, for sure, Kevin. No, enjoy the day.